Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.
Is that what you're doing, Rodney? You've been on your phone since you've been in the room, and I'm thinking you're like a teenager.
I am a teenager. Don't you feel like a teenager?
Not
a bit older.
That
I feel
much.
In my 20s.
I do when I listen to the music that I loved when I was a teenager.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you'll have a bit of a tear in the back of your
eye? I do sometimes.
Because it's that innocence, exuberance, that potential that you felt as a child when you first heard, or as a young person, when you first heard that music. And you don't have it now.
No, it's none of that. No, you're actually right. What I think it is, and maybe, well, how do you know at the time? But I think, oh my God, I want to go back.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because the way it felt, I want that feeling again. You know.
Funny thing, I've heard that said a lot by British people who were in England during the war.
Right.
Not fighting, but it was that sense of community, we're up against it, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And so it was hard, but there was something about it.
Well, my dad was 7 when the war started.
Yes.
And he's still alive. And every now and then we talk about it. Okay, he was 7, he was a kid. He said it was so exciting.
Yeah.
He used to hear the doogle bugs.
Was in England.
Yeah, he was in London. My grandfather was the mayor of Ealing at the time.
Wow.
First Irish mayor of Ealing. How about that?
That is something.
And they got, sent out, the kids
the
were sent out, yeah, to the country. And he said it was just magical. And the house that they got put in, he said, was haunted.
And the great thing was,
even though they knew that there was destruction and loss of life,
the great thing was they told the kids not to be scared.
Hmm.
Right? That was the whole message.
That's so different from today.
I know. Hey? They had a real threat.
Yeah.
And everyone would say, be calm, carry on, you know, we're British. And, oh, now scared us. Now kids are scared of sea rise change.
Yeah.
Scared of a bug. It's the opposite, right?
Yeah, well, that's
But that's how they've got control of it.
That's why I think a lot of people want to go back in time these days.
Mm.
I don't know, it wasn't perfect. You probably go back and go, oh, okay, be careful what you wish for. But it's just the feeling.
It wasn't just that we were young, was it?
I think it was a total thing. It was because I used to feel, I haven't thought about this much, but going back, I used to feel so secure in this country.
Yes. War would never happen.
No. People were nice.
People were very nice. It was a bit boring, I felt, but I could do with a bit of boring at
the moment. You get into rock and roll radio, man.
And then
it's not that boring.
You also had things were getting better.
Yeah, well, technology was on the march.
Yeah. Now you feel as though things are declining.
Degrading.
Degrading. Do you know who wrote the Psalms? Most of them.
Tell me.
King David. Because he's a shepherd boy. He was the one that killed
Goliath. The last one I just read had sheep in it.
I know. They all do. Or they lot do. Isn't that wonderful?
And now, we're losing sheep.
And I struggle to.
Yeah.
The Psalms are quite subtle and complicated, but beautiful. That was a beautiful reading, by the way. You could have a business reading Psalms on the internet, and people would be able to listen to them.
One in that particular style.
Yes. You've got a wonderful voice, Paul. And it read well, that psalm.
Thank you, Rodney.
I have came across in a podcast a lady called Louise Parent, young journalist, when I say young, in her early 30s. And she says she's written a book, and it's called Why the Sexual Revolution Was Wrong.
Mm.
Words to that effect. I'll have the title not quite right.
Mm.
Very powerful book.
Yeah. Do you think we can say it was wrong?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
definitively.
Yes. And it's very interesting. I'm going to pick on Marie Buskey because I had her on about feminism and she bristled.
Yeah.
And she bristled in the same way that you'd bristle if, you know, you had a religious feeling or were in a cult.
Right.
And here's the
interesting... And someone was criticizing your yes. belief system.
Yes. But Louise Pet... Louise... What did I say? And Perry. Louise Perry. She made this wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And it's stuck with me and I can't get it out of my head. And it's how in the world powerful men, whether through aggression or money, have always abused women and abused the vulnerable. They'd abuse their slaves, women. Abuse their servants.
Equal abuse. Opportunity abusers.
Yes, because men are aggressive.
No, they're not.
Yeah. And she said that Christian theology said, yes, a woman belonged to the man, but the man belonged to the woman.
Right.
And it tamed men through marriage. And we've all witnessed that. You know, the idea that you're out there and you get married and you get tamed. And
settle down.
Settle, you behave yourself. But
someday.
Her point was it serves to protect a woman who's vulnerable to the predations of men and who's vulnerable, especially when she's pregnant and with child and with a small baby.
That's why recommending the jab to pregnant women blows my head off.
Of course. There's no protection there. And she says the feminist movement came along and the sexual revolution came along and said instead of making men behave more like women, we will have women behave more like men.
That's what's excuse me, that's what's happened.
Sexually.
I think in every way.
Yes, yeah. But she was speaking just sexually. So a woman can go out and have a one night stand.
Yeah.
I got fascinated by this because there's a woman on OnlyFans, a young woman, who's slept with 100 men and slept is a euphemism, right?
Slept.
Hope
she got a good night's sleep.
100 men in a day.
What?
Yeah.
What, for the OnlyFans?
Yeah, filmed it.
To make money?
Yeah. She's making £1 million or something a year. Family are really wrapped.
Proud of her.
And she said, well, it's what she does, and she isn't hurting anyone.
Hurting herself.
Of course, and society. And this is where this Louise Perry comes in. Because she picks up on this and she makes this wonderful thing. I've just been bouncing around my head about consent. So I go over the kids what they're trying to teach them at schools about sex, and it's all about hedonism and consent.
Yeah, consent is the gateway.
Yes, but Louise points out that this consent is a two-edged sword because there's consent and consent. And so the Me Too movement redefine consent.
What about consent when you're pissed?
Yes. Well, what about consent when the legal partner gives you a few drinks and then invites you back to his house for a few more drinks and...
Don't have to go, by the way.
I know. But you have consented, if you know what I mean. And so Me Too said, oh, no, that's a power imbalance.
Oh, so consent doesn't even actually... That is a... negotiable thing after the fact.
That's the point. Yeah. Because as her point is, that women are vulnerable. Poor women are vulnerable. Poor young women are vulnerable to men. And you see...
Wait on, I would turn that around too, that men are vulnerable to attractive young women as well.
Of course. Of course.
Like, totally.
Of course. Yeah. And that's why this restraint... That's why this, and this is her point, this whole sexual revolution has led us astray because men aren't brought up to be gentlemen.
No. What are they brought up to be now?
Hedonists.
or just keep your head, keep your head down?
No, they're brought up to do what feels good and only care about me.
Okay.
Because there's no God, king, and country.
Right, okay.
There's nothing, there's no family, because you'd go family first, wouldn't you? And this is a big, this is a big topic, right? And she was, she's a 32-year-old, 33-year-old with a young baby explaining this, and she said she didn't appreciate this until she was pregnant. And you really, and she said, here's the other thing, right? And this really struck home to me because I've been reading the sex education curriculum.
Mm.
The only mention of my daughter is 13. The sex education that they were going to give her was full on. Stuff I didn't know, right? The only mention of marriage in the entire program was that you can be raped in a marriage.
Oh, so a negative.
Yes. No mention, I didn't pick this, but Louisa Perry says in feminism, there's no discussion of motherhood.
Right.
And in this sex education that they're foisting on 13-year-old girls and boys, there's no mention of motherhood or fatherhood.
I can see where this is going.
Isn't this terrible?
Feminism kind of interests me from this angle.
Here are we two old men talking about it.
I'm not that old.
No, nor am I.
I feel young.
And I'm not.
I don't look too bad, do I, Dave?
I'm only 50% man.
These are laugh lines, they're not wrinkles. it seems to me there's an element of inferiority complex in women to men. Because why do you always want to be like men?
I know.
Why do you want to work like men?
I know.
Why do you want to live like men?
I know.
And why do you celebrate trans?
I know.
It's almost like, well, if men want to be women, that means that women are good.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. They've got to stop thinking like that.
And it's happened in our generation.
Yeah.
Over our lifetime. It's been a complete... And she described what it was like in a wealthy man's household in a Roman or Greek, right?
Mm.
And they were pigs to women and to children. And of course,
presumably they went through that experience too when they were young. So that was just the way things were done?
Yes.
Someone disagrees with you, by the way. You want me to read this?
Yeah, please.
I disagree, Rodney. I think men are brought up to do as they're told by women, sadly.
Mm.
I don't know about that. Well, no, actually, I do know about that. You do kind of, with all this going on, men can doubt themselves.
Oh, well, men have lost all their mojo.
It's like, what am I?
What am I?
And what am I? What's my purpose?
What's
my role?
What role?
Mm.
Women don't need you to have a baby now, other than that first bit, because they can go and get a welfare check or go and have a career. There's nothing that they can't do, you're told, and you're toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And you see, not only do we not open a door for a woman now or give our seat up.
I do.
Of course you do, because you're a gentleman.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the psyche. You...
Why would you not like someone to do that for you?
I know.
I don't get that.
I know. And then, but even to protect them. Like, men will not... And of course we've been legally challenged on this. Protect women from a man going into their changing shed. This is crazy
stuff. Well, that's the fundamental of what you're saying. It's lost right there.
This is where you realize that this is like an end time game, right? This is like so serious to the social fabric. And I'm not disagreeing with that texter that men have been brought up to do what they're told by women.
Well, women are calling the shots.
Yeah. And
here's the thing, you know a lot about politics. How has it been with women in leadership in politics in this country?
Dreadful. Look at Chris Luxon.
Hang on. Well, look at Ardern.
Yeah.
Helen Clark. I mean, it was supposed to, they're supposed to be better leaders. That's what I've heard.
Yes.
Don't know if
well,
they are.
Jacinda Ardern was supposed to be kinder and bring a motherly love. And then they had it that you could kill old people and abort kids up to 9 months and leave them to die after they're born, because that's caring for children.
Am I missing something?
No, well, no, it's that terrible hypocrisy of she came in as this. The thing about a woman was they were supposed to have this more empathetic. They weren't all capitalist and about profit.
Yeah, they still want their money though, don't they?
And then she said she's going to bring kindness into politics, right?
A lot of people still think that she did.
Yeah. And then she divided us in half over the jab.
And
she divided us in half over race. She shut us down. She deplatformed us. White people, white men were supremacists. But then my point was they also had that euthanasia where you could kill old people.
Well, that's your ACT guy.
Yes. But, you know, in this time. And then full-term abortions.
Isn't it funny they call it reproductive rights? It's got nothing to do with reproduction.
No, but that's the wonderful thing about the left, and it's a wonderful thing about, well, we can, and Marie Buskey's all over this in a great way. It's how the Marxists have stolen our language.
Yeah.
You see, we
inverted it.
Yes, and we're trying to argue facts and logic.
Yeah, forget about that.
They know they're going to lose that. Hmm. So they go for the language.
Well, actually, people are primed to reject
yes
information that's empirical.
It's hard work.
Because it just doesn't fit with
no
what they've been
no
hammered with.
And so you have gender-affirming care, which is to castrate a kid and cut a kid's breasts off.
We're doing so well, aren't we?
And we call that gender-affirming care.
I know. Everything's 180.
And what do they... They call it reproductive rights.
Yeah.
And what were all the euphemisms around the jab? They were wonderful too.
Well, the one I liked was Jacinda Ardern. I've seen her on tape. If you've had a reaction, it probably means it's working really well. She's probably telling the truth from her point of view. You know. Oh, okay, so that anaphylactic shock that I had.
Was she an unwitting fool and a tool?
No. Nah.
Or was she in on it?
No. Nah.
Totally in on it.
Look at the accumulated wealth.
Yes.
That'll tell you everything you want to know, I think.
Yes.
And if you're so popular, why aren't you here?
She's not popular. She couldn't walk down the street.
No,
I don't think, no.
No.
But right, when you say that about women, I was joking about Chris Luxon, because there's no strength of leadership there, right? And you could usefully compare him to Winston Peters, who would stand on a principle and stand up for it bravely and boldly.
Mm. Well, how come he's only 6% in the latest poll?
Well, I think it's like you say, they get bad coverage.
Right.
And the media are still affecting voters.
How does the Māori Party get 7%?
Well, they pinch it off the Greens.
And they steal it.
They do. It's like,
there's a bunch
of people there, who's going to be the maddest, baddest person? And you'd think that Chloe and that guy who wears a dress and a funny saucer on his pot on his head, and who's got every victimhood status that you could imagine.
Check.
He's got them all, right? And you think they'd be doing pretty good. Oh, but they didn't roll their eyes and do a haka in the chamber and rip up a bill and organise a hikoi. So they're winning.
Yeah, but that means they'll have to keep on doing those stunts. And they'll have to intensify them.
Absolutely.
So we could be in for a bit of argy-bargy.
Absolutely. And this is the sad thing about the theatre of politics. I wasn't there long, and Tohunare was in New Zealand first. And he and I got into a dust-up in the chamber, and he came over.
Like a physical?
No, verbal.
Okay.
And he came over and he said, we should keep this up, Rodney.
What, for the way it looks?
Yes, he said, every time I bash you, Maori like it. And every time you bash me, whiteys can like it. And it was such a horrible way of thinking about the world. A, that it was theatre, not searching for what's best for New Zealand. But B, also too, this division in New Zealand, not along political lines, but along racial lines. We've got a long way to go before we can get over this.
You know what New Zealand reminds me of?
Fiji.
No, but yeah. It's a teenage mentality.
Yes.
Look, I'd like to think we would have grown up somewhere, but I don't know if we have.
It's a great saying.
It's immature, you know?
That great saying about adults in the room.
Yeah.
Like, it's time for the dads and the mums, you know, the real dads and the mums to stand up and be counted. And I think that's what you're seeing in America.
Yeah.
They're standing up now. That's it. We've had enough. We've been busy in our lives. We've been busy doing our jobs.
Yeah, but too far.
But this is, you've gone too far. That's it. We're now, you know, the dads and the mums are here. The adults have turned up.
Back in the room.
They're back in the room. And we know these people, don't we, in our lives. The dads and the mums who actually will stand up.
I don't know many of them.
And they'll say, no, sorry, mate, too far. I've been pushed around. Okay. Well, we saw them in COVID.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of people I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we saw Alia, Claire.
Oh, no.
Libby.
Absolutely.
We saw the likes of a Steve Oliver.
Yep.
Guy Hutchard. He just stood up and said, no, Matt Sheldon. These are amazing people.
Yep.
Who typically wouldn't have involved themselves.
No, you don't want that crap
affairs.
In your life normally.
No.
Just want to get on with it.
They wouldn't have been members of the National Party or the Labour Party. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And then you look at Chris Hipkins and Chris Luxon. And you think,
what is it about the name Chris?
Yeah. Do they have a bottom line?
I'm not a Chris. They probably don't.
Not at all.
No.
Everything is about management.
And advantage.
And advantage.
I'm conscious of the time. I want to run this by you.
Please.
Syria.
It's not looking good.
Because I'm looking on our media. Nothing. It's probably one of the most significant events.
Yes.
Because of the nature of Syria, if you look into it, it's one of the most diverse ethnically and religiously diverse countries on the planet.
And everyone's been playing there.
ISIS is fundamentally in charge of this, supported by someone. Now, why did Biden leave that military equipment in Afghanistan, I wonder? Who's using it now?
I know.
Who's using it now?
Yeah, of course.
What's the bet that some of it found its way to Syria? Because they're good weapons.
They're great weapons. But here's a weirder thing.
It's a win for Israel, they say. Because it decapitates the supply line to Hezbollah.
Yes.
Over land for weapons.
Yes. And gives them an excuse to advance.
And Iran loses its lever there. But some are saying that forces now Iran to go nuclear. Because that's their only option. So, actually, this could be terrible.
And why now? Why at this particular moment?
I told you something was building.
Oh, yeah. Like Russia pulled out. Let them collapse.
Well, if their army's not going to fight.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. But it's like a switch was pulled. I mean, it just seems odd. It's this period between Biden still in office, useless. He's just managing. Trump not in power. Did you see what Trump said about it?
What did he say? Oh, no, it's not our business.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's what we want. It's not our business.
Might end up being their business. Well, it actually is their business.
Why?
Well, the CIA will be in there.
Yes, but he'll stop it. If he knows about it. But you'd defend Israel. That'll upset Texters. But we need to defend Israel. But this guy that's in charge of those rebels, he's got a $10 million US price on his head.
Bounty on his head, yeah.
Because he's a terrorist.
And he said, I think there was a question, because he remarkably got on CNN. And they asked him, what about when you're in ISIS and all the killings? Oh, well, we had to do what we had to do then. But this is different now.
It always is. So you could have another caliphate.
Yeah. And then what?
And then what?
Who's next?
And so it's amazing to me when you see those pictures.
If I was a Christian there, I'd be out.
Oh. And Matt, you see those pictures of Iran, Lebanon, Afghanistan in the 60s. Wonderful countries.
Hmm. I always show women with short skirts.
I know.
To show what it used to be like. Here's a text. Come to breakfast for your regular dose of sexism. Women have never wanted to be like men, you utter morons. That's bullshit.
Well,
they do. They want to work like men. They want to be men if they can.
Well, we're generalizing.
Okay. How come we're going that way then, if we're generalizing?
No, we're generalizing because, it was inconceivable that...
There's not sexism, though, to discuss these issues.
Of course it's not.
I mean, what about you're a toxic male? Is that sexist? Well, yeah, but I don't hear anyone sticking up for us.
No, but it's not us versus them.
It is at the moment. Feels like it.
It does. Because men and women have stopped from being complementary to being competitive.
I think you're allowed to criticize if you think... there are grounds, because I get criticized all the time, I feel, as a man and also as me.
Yeah.
You know?
You're
too shouty, your voice is too loud.
Yeah.
Well, that's a male voice. It's loud for a reason.
Or you would think like that. What read the text again?
Come to breakfast for your regular dose of sexism. Women have never wanted to be like men, you utter morons.
Well, I don't think we're being sexist. I think we are noting the sex differences, if that's sexist. I idolise women. Absolutely idolise them.
Me too.
My mother was the most wonderful person in the world. My wife is just gorgeous, wonderful, and both wives... sadly. Wonderful, wonderful, 10 times better than me.
Why is it women that seem to support more the transgender stuff? Or is that a generalisation too?
It is a generalisation, but I think it's a correct generalisation.
We have heard that when it comes to disagreements between parents of kids, that it's the man who's always trying to stop it.
Mm. Well, here's a sexist generalisation. I think by biology and inclination and roles, that is to say, it's still the case that women carry children and raise babies.
Yeah, but that's going down too.
No. Yes. Oh, that's a great point.
Elizabeth going through Perry's the floor.
But isn't it the case that men are colder and, dare I say it, more rational?
You know what that is? It's threat assessment.
Yes.
It's baked in. Everything has to be assessed as a threat first, and then whatever it is after that comes later.
I agree. And then a woman is more family, caring, kind, babies.
To have the space to be there in behind...
the man.
the threat assessor,
yeah,
who will deploy maximum violence if he has to.
He'll kill and lay his life down.
Mm.
And that's a sexual dimorphic difference. And so it seems to me natural that women are more empathetic people's feelings.
Whereas
a man will say that's bullshit.
Or to hang in for 16 years of continuous childcare and upbringing.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to stay the course.
And, oh, darling, you think you're a girl. Okay.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the people that are like this, and this is where it's so interesting to me, that somehow politics has been divided. It used to be right and left, but it seems to be divided tribally on those who sort of, I'd even call them common sense, versus the deluded. And there's a great chunk, and we've got family members like this, and they're deluded. Like whatever the left wing says, they will agree with instantly. Instantly. They'll make up, down, black, white.
Mm.
And there's no reasoning with it.
And if the view is in danger, they lose it.
Yeah. Yes, if you criticise it.
Yeah.
So I think this is a challenging topic for people because you're rubbing over something that we have dedicated our lives to. So instead of saying to young woman, oh, you've got some skills in this area, you could be a really good nurse, we say, no, you could be a doctor, right? Whereas previously the boy would be sent off to be a doctor. And so now we have women who are been on the treadmill of university, whatever, and you come to this interesting thing, because Louisa Perry says, what Breitbart thought that if you gave us free sex, abortion on demand.
Who invented it?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Was it a woman?
Yeah. But let's just think about this. Abortion on demand, birth control methods.
Yeah.
That we'd magically have 2.1 babies.
Yeah, we're 1.67 or something.
In New Zealand, is it?
I think so.
It's catastrophic, right?
It's the same everywhere in the Western world. There's the pattern.
That's the pattern.
And this is what you get.
It's exactly what you get because...
Now, if you're not interested in furthering the species or having new babies, any sort of numbers, you'd operate a system like this.
Yes. You know what? Louise Perry makes this beautiful world about enchantment, sexual enchantment. And I love that because we've made this thing like a cup of coffee. You know?
Hmm.
Oh, I took you for dinner. You know, you got to satisfy me. Right?
Been a while since I've taken anyone to dinner. It's moved along
since
then.
Been satisfied.
Yeah.
But
you don't even know whether you should pay for it anymore.
No. But then there's no pulling chairs. All that stuff, I miss it. Yeah. I really miss
pulling
it.
Pulling chairs can result in bad injuries, but...
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
The fun thing.
And...
Do you want to hear these texts?
Yeah. Are they getting into me?
Paul and Rodney, I'm a 57-year-old woman. I agree that as I grew up, I was told I could strive to do and be everything, and I did. Single working parent, secretly anxious, but kept pushing. The system I was in promoted old-school feminism. I was duped.
Wow.
Wish I'd been a wife and stay-at-home mum. It's not women's fault. It was promoted by the elite to divide us.
Yes.
And this one, 53-year-old mother of two, and couldn't agree with you more. Society has accepted this equality ideal at the expense of family and children. You are considered now lesser of a woman if you don't prioritise work, career and professions.
Right.
Or, sorry, possessions. Over mothering, teaching and supporting the family. So those things over that. An integral role that's sadly missing and children missing out is men and women. Sad state of affairs. And no men cannot be women. Good topic. See the age range?
Yeah. Because it's very easy to be seduced when you are young by material things, status, career advancement, working hard, and very easy when you're young to discount social relationships, children, husbands slash wives. And when you're older, to realise that status, money.
What do you look back as your greatest accomplishments? Before you answer, I'll tell you mine.
Four children.
I don't care if anything else happened in my life.
Me neither. That's would have believed that. I wouldn't have believed that even 5 years ago. It's required a lot of thinking, a lot of questioning, and I thank COVID for that because it rocked my world in every way. Made you realise what's important.
Yeah.
Because it can all be taken away.
I mean, you know, radio career and flying around in planes, and yeah, it was all great, but it wasn't as good as that.
No, but the thing is...
As enduring or lasting. Or,
what's hard about it is children are every day in a long-term project, like a marriage.
Yep.
And the benefits accrue slowly. And they can't be seen day to day. But outside of that, in every sense of the word, are all these seductions with advertising and all the rest of it and girls.
It works. It gets in. I used to do advertising.
And it gets you. And that's why a strong moral code and social code about what is good and what is wrong is important.
You're getting the wind up.
I thought Dave was having a medical event.
He was doing a helicopter impersonation.
I thought he was having a medical event.
Okay. Well, you can do the CPR. I'll make the call.
No. I'll do the CPA. You do the mouth to mouth.
Let's flip a coin.
There you go, Paul. Lovely to talk. How did we end up on that?
I don't know. Because you were mucking around on your phone like a teenager when you walked in.
You said that to me.
He didn't even look up at me, did he?
No.
Yeah. And we had Tim Wilms in Australia before. He said that he'd fallen down the stairs looking at his phone.
Boy, is
naked
that,
as anchor.
Has that been... Anyway. No, we better stop.
No, we've got to stop. Hey, Rodney, always good.
Always good, brother.
See you Tuesday. See you Thursday.
Can't wait. We need to be being resilient. We need to be being strong. We need to be together discussing the big ideas. The ideas that the mainstream media not only don't talk about, but openly dismiss and then attack anyone that does talk about them.
Simply that we believe something because it's been our tradition doesn't actually make it true. We can look in the past and see what happens when belief is prioritised over discussion and seeking, if you will, a foundation for truth.
Alas, we have no tear down this wall politicians in our uni party. Our lot can't even hold their nerve when it comes to keeping men out of women's sports.
All of these people who say, oh, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, don't mean I've studied what is being suggested here. I think on the balance of probabilities, it's not likely. What they mean is, I'm scared of even thinking what would be if that were to be the case.
Where were the real men in all of this? Why weren't they standing up? Why weren't they protecting these principles? Where were they?
You look at them up there with their word salad, hitting all of the buzzwords that they like to talk, but they've got this like crazy eyes look, and you just sit there thinking, you're putting the mental into environmental in a big way here.
This is only the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. This is the start of something new in New Zealand media. I would not be allowed to do this on any other platform. You would not be allowed to hear these conversations anywhere else in New Zealand media. Only on RCR.